Games. This is Dan Dan, a board game man, with this week's Top 5 Express Board Games Edition. Each episode, I'm going to give you a topic for the list and give you my picks for the top 5 games that fit that topic. Now, as I do every year, we're going to be going the way, way back machine for the top 5 games of 10 years ago, and then in the next episode, I'm going to give you the top 5 games from 5 years ago. So today, we're going to be going over the top 5 games of 2013. Now, I think this might be the 5th year that I've started doing all these top 5s, because I think this might finish up those 5 and 10 years. So next year, I'm going to have to figure out if I'm going to revisit and see if anything's changed, or just start doing something else. So when I was looking up the games for this year's 2013, this year list, I couldn't believe how many amazing games that came out this year. So I'm going to mention a lot of games on this list. So, and I always go back to my Geek All-Star list to see what my top games were from that year. And in 2013, I went with Keyflower. Now, Keyflower is and was a great game, but it quote-unquote technically came out in 2012. And at the time, it fit my Geek All-Stars list because I do kind of a fiscal gaming year, which begins from one Essen to the next, because so many games that come out at Essen, they don't get to the U.S. until early that next year. And Keyflower was a perfect example of something that didn't really get here till 2013. So I put it in on the 2013 list. So for this list, when I do the top 5 lists, I don't go there. I just do a strict year release because it's easier for me to do searches for BGG. And I don't remember what the heck came out, you know, right at that Essen before then. So I just go strict 2013 for this list. Now, I'm going to mention all these also-rans, so I'll kind of try to go as quick as I can. I just do this because I really want everybody out there. I mean, it's not just because I like to cheat, but it's mostly because I want everybody out there to find great games. And if anything on this list seems something up your alley, let me know on the Discord or on Twitter. I'll be happy to answer any questions. Or if you want to talk about any of these games, just let me know. So anyway, first up, we'll talk about some of these also-rans here. Concordia, a great game, kind of worker takement. It's a really solid game. It's hard to believe that some of these games are 10 years old. Caverna, which is kind of the better Agricola, in my opinion, came out then. Eldritch Horror, that's kind of the Arkham Horror 3.0. Kind of almost made, as much as I love Lanius and Arkham Horror, Eldritch Horror, it kind of replaces Arkham Horror in a way, but it's just so, so good. Nations, a nice kind of heavier kind of a Civ type game. Rococo, which was a kind of deck building elements, another heavier kind of Euro game. This is the year for the Renaissance was full swing for all these crazy heavy Euros, because there's a lot on this list, and maybe it's just because I like heavy Euros, or it just happened to be that a lot of them came out in these couple of years. But Nations is another one of those. Rococo is one of those. It's a heavier Euro about making dresses. Go figure. Really cool game. Firefly, the board game from Gale Force 9. Again, more go into the Feld. Had a million games coming out in kind of the mid 20 teens there. Amerigo and Bruges came out in these years in 2013. Forbidden Desert, which was the next one from Forbidden Island, and Matt Leacock. Freedom, the Underground Railroad. Sushi Go. Francis Drake, again, yet a kind of unsung gem. It's a hard one to get to the table because the rule book is kind of a bear and it is a big game, but it's a great production value and a really solid heavy Euro. Now, Mysterium, which this technically this is the real release date for the Mysterium, but it was called the Domoze Tamakoko, whatever. I can't remember what the Polish name for it. Domoske. Anyway, it was technically Mysterium is a U.S. release in 2015, but the original release was back then. It might have made my top 5 list, but because of all this confusion, I'm just going to leave it as kind of an also-ran. Rampage, which was then remade Terror in Meeple City. I think the copy I still have still says Rampage on it, but this was a really cool kind of dexterity game, kind of flicking and throwing things on her. It's a big old game. The biggest problem with some of the initial, I think I have a first print run that says Rampage, but everything just starts warping in this game. So that's kind of a big drawback, but it is a pretty cool game if you have a set that does sit flat pretty well. Rise of Augustus, which was kind of Bingo, which was kind of later done in a way as Ecos kind of did a lot of the same thing, but Rise of Augustus was really cool, real fun game. Clubs, that's a ladder climbing game, later Stronghold released Diamonds. Clubs is, I mean, they play different, but Clubs is a really solid, fun ladder climbing game if you kind of like trick-taking and ladder climbing. War Machine High Command. Now, they tried to do a really unique thing with High Command here with a deck building. They did a really unique deck building, but they gave up on it. And it could have really been something if they developed it a little bit more. Then, of course, following the hit of Zombicide, the other company put out Zapocalypse. I've got a lot of crap for Zapocalypse. I don't even know if I opened any of it. I went all in, and the game just isn't really as great as Sombicide, but it's still pretty cool. I played somebody else's copy. I kind of like it, but I've just kind of been holding on to it. I may sell off all that stuff because I have all this Kickstarter crap from Zombicide, I mean, Z-Apocalypse. So Jason Tagmeyer, who owns Buttonshot Games, he put out a couple of games in 2013 that were both amazing. Pixel Lincoln, the deck building game, is one of the most underrated games of all time. It's a great deck building game, a really stupid fun theme. It just has this like 8-bit computerized theme, you know, like those old kind of 8-bit games, but it's a deck building game. It's really good. He also has Maximum Throwdown, which at the time was one of the first kind of just throwing cards game. You play on like a table or you play on a defined space and you're throwing cards. Each kind of you play as one of the factions. Each faction has a different power that exists and you're trying to cover up other symbols. Man, it's so cool. Really good game, like $10. You could probably find it for $10 somewhere right now, even less maybe. And then finally for the Also-Rans, Heroes of Metro City. This was a superhero deck building game, I think also highly underrated. The rule book was a bit of a mess, and then them kind of getting out the kind of the rest of the Kickstarter stuff kind of hurt it a little bit, but I still really like this game to this day. It's a pretty cool game. And I think BGG has all the, you know, all the threads you can find, any answers to any questions that you can find on there. So anyway, let's get into my top five games of 2013. Number five, Cinque Terre. This is a really solid game from Rio Grande. I think it might still be in print. I hope it is. And Chris Handy. This is kind of like, I like to think of this as your next step from, it's a pickup and deliver game. So I like to think of it as kind of your next step from Ticket to Ride, and those type games are Catan. It's so good. Pick up, deliver, second edition. This game is great, and it should be one of the first games that anybody teaches kind of newer or kind of novice gamers. Plays in about an hour, 2 to 5 players. Chris Handy's a great designer, and this is no different. This is probably, I think it might be one of his first games that he made, because he also made the Long Shot before this, I believe, but just a great game. Chris Handy has a lot, and he has all those Paco games, the small games as well. But anyway, real solid game. That is Cinque Terre. Number four, Gravwell, Escape from the Ninth Dimension. You talk about games that do some really cool things. You have some drafting in this, and basically the Gravwell, you're trying to escape the the singularity, and it kind of has this kind of spiral type kind of map or game board, and you're trying to play different elements that have kind of different numbers on them and different colors. And depending on the number and how far away you are from the other people, you're kind of doing this push and pull of your spaceships, just trying to reach just the outer to escape, to get to the warp gate to escape. Now, they originally was put out by Cryptozoic. And then once they kind of split from, once Renegade kind of split from Cryptozoic, then it went with Renegade. So it's now the newer edition is from under Renegade Game Studios. This is a real quick playing game. It's a super filler, kind of a 1 hour wonder. You play 1 to 4 players. Nice kind of light game. It takes a second to really wrap your brain around that kind of push and pull of how the cards are going to work. But the drafting system is cool because you're drafting like one card and you're getting some other cards. So you're kind of almost like not knowing exactly what you're getting. And then you have to play your cards accordingly. So a little bit of tactical gameplay there. But really solid game. Gravwell, Escape from the Ninth Dimension. Number three, I have one game, but man, Dice Hate Me Studios put out 3 games this year. I don't know how Chris did it. Chris is my co-host on the Geek All-Stars, and he owns Dice Hate Me Games. He put out 3 amazing games in this same year. Brewcrafters, Compounded, and Great Harlan Hall and Company. And it's funny because they're all kind of a little bit different. I'll talk about the Also-Rans first. So Great Harlan Hall and Company is one of the greatest small box games. That's by Jason Katarski. And it's just really cool about kind of going around the heartland. It's, again, a pick up and deliver. If you know how to play like Ticket to Ride or some of those kind of, again, entry-level games, this is perfect for you and really easy. And I think this is another one of those games that you can teach to people really quick. And, you know, one of the games that you can just teach as your first game showing some people. Compounded is, if you do like science, even if you don't like science, it's pretty easy to play, but it's a really cool game. It's if you don't really like the periodic table or science, it may be something that may be kind of a deal breaker for you, but it's a real fun game and it's got some really cool mechanics to it. And again, it's not all that heavy. It's kind of a lighter game to play, but it's a great game. And of course, my actual number three here, Brewcrafters. I kind of mentioned how Caverna was kind of, you know, better than Agricola. This might be better than both of them. And it is a little bit heavier. It's about making beer or producing beer and just kind of doing all those kind of worker placement things and making your brew house, or, you know, just your microbrew and all the different ways you're doing it. Ben Rossett later put out Homebrewers, the same designer, kind of a smaller game with some dice rolling to keep the theme going. And it was a really solid game as well. But Brewcrafters, again, it is a little bit heavier. It's a 3.57 on BGG. It's going to take you probably about, it says 90 minutes on BGG, but it's probably about a 2 hour game. But once you let the, you know, once you know it, it's about a 90 minute game. Again, 2 to 5 players, just an absolutely excellent, excellent game. And again, that is Brewcrafters. My number two, again, we're sticking because all I like, it seems like, is heavier kind of Euros. And then, again, this was the heyday of heavier Euros. Glass Road from 2013. This is an Uwe Rosenberg game, speaking of Agricola and everything else. But this is a really cool game, kind of a good, another one where you're kind of trying to outguess your opponents, because you have some card play. And if you're playing cards that are different from other players, you have a little bit one ability. If you play the same as some other people, there's a little bit different kind of how powerful your abilities are. And you're kind of building up your tableau with kind of chopping down trees and making other things. It's just a really cool game. And then there's this, I can't even, how to explain it. It's like a rondel, but not really. It's got this weird thing because your pieces can't go above. If something is blocking it, the whole kind of way the rondel moves doesn't move. And it's a way that you have to get the more powerful or more expensive components is to move some of those other components. It's hard to explain, but if you know the game, or if you look into the game, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But this is a really cool game, Glass Road. This is another one of these games, kind of reminds me of Alien Frontiers, where they put out an app, but I think it's now taken down, because I remember buying it when it came out, and I'm really annoyed because that was on an old iPad, and I don't think I can access it anymore, but it was a really good implementation of Glass Road on the iPad. Anyway, 1 to 4 players, plays in about an hour and a half, and kind of a medium to heavier weight game. That was my number two, Glass Road. My number one game from 2013 is, again, a heavier Euro, and this is by Helmut Ohly and Leonard Orgler. Helmut Ohly is such a great designer. He put out First Class as well, and all the different railroads between Ultimate Railroads, Asian Railroads, Russian Railroads, and U.S. Railroads. But Russian Railroads, this was the first year for this one. Again, this is a little bit heavier. It's on a lot of the online platforms if you really want to check it out. I know it's still on Yukata, and it's on BGA, and they're really good as far as how the implementation goes. But again, heavier Euro, it's kind of worker placement, and you get your little tableau. And there's a couple of different ways you're kind of building out your tracks in one side. And then on the bottom of the board, you're kind of building out the other factories as well. And again, other ones, you know, again, German railroads, Russian, Ultimate Railroads, they all change things up a little bit. But this is the original. And it's just so good. You get these engineers where you get your own worker spaces you can get at the beginning of rounds. Then you're unlocking other things on there. Russian Railroads is so good. Just if you like heavy Euros, you need to check it out. But that's my number one game from 2013, Russian Railroads. So, number five, Chiquitera. Number four, Gravwell, Escape from the Ninth Dimension. Number three, Brewcrafters. But also check out Compound and Great Hall and Hoeing Company. And number two, Glass Road. And number one, Russian Railroads. So thanks for joining me this week on Top 5 Express Board Games Edition. If you have any questions or want to tell me what games you thought were the best from 2013, feel free to comment on this episode on MajorSpoilers.com or go to the site for tons of other great podcasts and content with Steven or his Major Spoilers crew. And of course, you can check it out on Discord and join some talk on the Top 5 and Discord, in the Major Spoilers Discord. I'm Dan, the Board Game Man, and you can find me at GeekJockDan on Twitter or on the Geek All-Stars podcast, the Munchkinland podcast here on Major Spoilers, where I give it twice a month, 10 to 15 minute board game news show. And of course, as a contributor to TMS, where I do a board game segment with Scott and Brian. I'll be back soon with more board game top five goodness. But until then, grab a new board game and have some fun with family and friends.
This podcast is copyright 2023 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.